You know, the great thing about doing this radio show on WGN, I get to meet really cool people. Dr. Carla Nowrowski is a former CEO of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Foundation and the Naval War Foundation. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
You know, there's so much I want to talk to you about. I almost don't know where to begin. I mean, you've been honored by the country of Paris. I didn't mean to say that. France. Paris, I don't believe it's a country. For what you've done, for what you've done for Notre Dame.
You know?
We'll get to all that. But I want to talk about Abraham Lincoln. You've written three books, is it?
Well, it's two, and I contributed to another. So, okay. Yes, absolutely.
All right. So you know about the dude?
A little bit.
Yeah. What would he think about today's politics? One of the most revered, maybe, next to George Washington, the most revered president ever. What would he think about what's happening today? And I'm not talking about left wing, right wing. I'm talking about the divisiveness.
I think as far as the divisiveness, he led us through the Civil War and got us out successfully. And so I think from that standpoint, he might not be shocked. He might be a little disappointed, but I don't think he would be shocked because it was very divisive during his day.
As bad as this?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
I mean, well, they were considering separation. You know, they were actually fighting for that. And so... it can't get much worse than civil war. And yet, having said that, I think he might, in this day and age, say, I thought we got through this, and I thought we were set on the right path. And so I think he might be, he'd be disappointed, but he'd also understand it. And what he would respect about it is that this is a nation that allows people to express their opinions, but do so in a civil way. And so, what was expressed perhaps on January 6th, that he would not have liked. But I think he does like, the expression of diverse opinions, even no matter how ugly they can sometimes get. He was a man that understood the nation. I mean, and that was what the Gettysburg Address was all about, you know, that we should celebrate a new birth of freedom. And it's almost as though we need another new birth of freedom now, you know, that we have to understand where we came from, what we fought for, what almost happened in this nation almost being divided during the Civil War. And it can happen again if we're not safeguarding all that our forefathers put forth for us.
There are some people that say democracy really is perhaps being threatened right now. Are you in that camp?
No, I'm an eternal optimist, and I actually think that he was as well. And so I think it's kind of that bend but not break kind of point. I think we saw that happening. That, you know, at the end, our principles, our values, what our nation stands for stood firm, and it will going forth. You know, we have the oldest constitution in the world.
It's, we do?
Yes, we do.
This is interesting to me in and of itself, because we're, compared to European countries, we're a new kid on the block, right?
Yes, we are.
So how is it that our constitution is older than, say, France?
A lot of civil uprising and civil wars. And that's what, in many respects, makes us so well respected around the world, is people recognize that we have the oldest living and breathing constitution. And it's something to be respected. And even though sometimes we fight about, you know, different aspects of it, in the end, it's what binds us together.
But does it still?
It still is as of today, you know. I mean,
were you worried? What did you think? Okay, so there you are on January 6th, and you doing what you do, and having the knowledge of history that you have. What did you think when you were watching that?
I have to say, it was shocking. I mean, it was unsettling. I couldn't believe that it was actually taking place, and you know, Lincoln always said we have to appeal to our better angels. And so that's what I was hoping for as I saw it taking place, that the people leading our nation would appeal to their better angels and make sure that this institution we call the United States of America would still stand firm in the light of such an egregious act.
But the response was, by some, clearly what you just said. Then 2 weeks later, they said something else. But others didn't seem to have that response.
Well, I mean, this is what our nation's based on, various opinions and differentiating opinions. And you know, what does whatever act at the time call for? You know, what was happening on January 6th almost required a bipartisan response in the moment, you know, just like after 9/11. When all our legislators stood up on the steps and sang "God Bless America,"
which was amazing, wonderful. It was heartening, and it was the right thing to do. I'm not sure we saw that after January 6th. And even though some of those who said, "Oh, this is the worst thing ever," I blame you or you, 2 weeks later had a completely different story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I, you know, politics make strange bedfellows, you know, as they say, which was, I think, I could be wrong
who
on this.
Who said that?
Well, I don't know exactly who said it, but it was, I think, maybe during Lincoln's time where they would travel the circuit together, and people of opposite...
They meaning?
Legislators, judges, and they would sometimes literally share the same bed because they would, you know, be traveling together, and they would... So,
hold it now. Now you've gone to a completely different realm. So Lincoln shared his bed with legislators?
Well,
you don't mean to say that.
No, I do mean to
what?
Say that. And look, I'm not as... I think it could be judges
versus
legislators. Are you taking
Lincoln out of the closet? I'm not sure what you're saying here.
No, it was just it was customary at that time.
Really?
when they would...
You would sleep whoever you traveled with?
Sometimes, yes.
Wow.
Men with men.
I'm learning
yes.
all sorts of things I never knew before.
Yes.
218, and who knew this about Abraham Lincoln? And he was so tall.
How
did he get a bed that would even fit him?
It's interesting because...
Weren't beds smaller at that time?
They absolutely were, yeah. And after the assassination, when he was brought to the bed, he was laid actually diagonally across it because he was so tall. So...
Wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
218 on WGN. We'll be back with more cool stuff. You know, I love talking to people like this. Dr. Carol Nowrowski, I hope I said that right, who is positively brilliant. I mean, talking to you off the air, it's wonderful. You have met how many presidents?
I've met two, but I've corresponded with five.
All right, tell me about all five.
Well, you know, I had the fortune of corresponding with them when we were putting together Gettysburg Replies. It was for the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, and we asked people around the world to write their own 272 words, which was the exact number of words
wow.
in the Gettysburg Address, not to outdo Lincoln, because no one could do that, but really to understand how profound that speech is, that he can convey that much meaning in so few words.
And who replied?
The first one was Jimmy Carter, and he typed it himself on his typewriter. We had Bill Clinton.
Like a manual typewriter?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Do you still have that?
Well, it's in the archives of the Presidential Library.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah. Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, and President Obama. And President Obama was the only one who wrote it out longhand, like Lincoln did. We challenged people to write it out longhand. The others typed it, but signed it.
I could never write it out anything. I mean, no one could read my writing because, I mean, you don't write anymore. Now, how many of these presidents have you gotten to know?
Personally, none of them personally, although I did get to meet... one-on-one with President Clinton and George W. Bush.
And what were those meetings about, if I may ask? And well, I may not ask, I'm asking anyway.
Well, we were honoring them at the time. And, you know, they were both just so magnanimous, larger than life, very welcoming to everybody in the room, taking the time for everyone. And George W. Bush, understanding that mint that, crossed the world when he offered a mint to Michelle Obama. I was able to offer him a mint, and he just bust out laughing. I thought,
that's great.
One good mint deserves another, I thought,
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Now, you were honored for your work with President Bush's Point of Light campaign for volunteerism.
Yes. So I was recognized by George H.W. Bush, at the time also was recognized by George W. Bush for a lot of the work I'm doing to get citizens more engaged, especially young students. I created the 1350 Foundation for 13 Stripes, 50 Stars. And we really talked to students to really ponder what the American flag means to them. And it's been a great project. That was more in my earlier days, but I've continued that kind of work in all the work that I do.
Are you seeing, like, our next guest, Paul Vallis, has been different places around the world as a volunteer because he felt I can help. It's the right. Do you see more of that or less of that with young people?
I think I see more of it. I think that all people are looking for meaning in their lives these days. Mm-hmm. The internet could really weigh upon you because you see bad news instantaneously. And so you really want to look for things that could make a difference in the world. And when you do something for others, you're really doing it for yourself. You really can feel better and feel uplifted and see the hope that there is in the world.
Tell me about Notre Dame.
So Notre Dame is near and dear to me. I'm on the board of the Friends of Notre Dame de Paris, which is the official.
Who isn't? are you one of those, what do they call it, Paris files or something?
Well, some people call
them Francophiles.
Francophiles. Yeah. Some people say parasites. I've heard them say. You can take your pick, but yeah, I am a Francophile, and I'm on the board of the Friends of Notre Dame de Paris, which is the official foundation in the for fundraising outside of Paris and outside of France for Notre Dame. I joined that board about 3 months before the fire, and then the fire hit.
Did you see it after the fire?
Yes, I was actually inside it in July of this year. I had to dress in a hazmat suit because of the roof melted at about 1,200 degrees, and all the lead that was on the top of the roof melted. Fortunately, it didn't vaporize, and so it wasn't a hazard to the neighboring houses and the people in the neighborhood. But I did go in. It was quite devastating, and yet it's uplifting to see the renovation going on.
Tell me about that.
Well, we completed the safety phase about midpoint of last year. We, it's famous for the flying buttresses, and there's about 28 of them, which actually work. The thrust works against the arches in the vaults to hold the structure up, and those were weakening just because they were 800 and some 60 years old. But then with all the water that fell on them from the fire, they were even more weak. So we actually had to buttress the buttresses with wood. Each buttress had to be made uniquely for that buttress so that they could make sure that the cathedral stayed in place. The safety phase is over. And it was just quite phenomenal. They didn't know if it would collapse, so they would drop the workers down from baskets about 28 stories high into the cathedral to repair it. Now it's in the renovation stage, the repairing and renovating all the side chapels. They're building the new spire, which will be identical to the previous ones.
When would it be reopened?
The initial reopening will be in time for the Olympics in 2024, which will be in Paris.
And by the way, I don't want to just blow by this. France said personally, thank you very much to you.
Yes, I received the National Order of Merit from France, which was very bizarre.
That never happens to an American, does it?
Rarely. I mean, they give about 300 awards out to people around the world annually. And so it was rare that I received it, which was just truly an honor. I picked up the phone and there was a call and I said, who's honoring me?
Do you speak French?
No, I don't.
And they still like you.
And they still, I hope they love me. I hope, you know.
It seems they do. We're out of time.
Oh, that's okay. I loved this.
Would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Come back at some point in time. You're a wonderful guest.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It'd be my honor. I would love to do that.
It's truly an honor to meet you and all you've done and continue to do. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope this was okay for you.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay.